This time on episode 165 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's a one-shot! We're going to be talking about the 2017 Fox Studios film Logan. We're going to be talking about the weekly Marvel news and your feedback.
I'm John from Game Life Balance US, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready, because geekiness commences in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Jeffrey Mace. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent
Haley. Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. The show is recorded on Wednesday, March 8th, 2017. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Daredevil Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage on Netflix, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because of Professor X using the F-bomb.
If you'd like to talk to us about Professor X or any other X-Men using the F-bomb, you can check out our website, legendsofshield.com.
We have a voicemail line. Please don't leave profanity. 844-THE-BUS-1. 844-843-2871.
We have a Facebook where you are not encouraged to leave profanity, but you can. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
We have a Twitter handle where I believe you're required to leave profanity, at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
If you want to see any of our YouTube video companions, go to youtube.com/GunnaGeek. And I'm not sure if you can leave profanity in the comments there or not.
You can. And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network. And this week, we're talking Logan. So it's directed by James Mangold, who has done a lot of pretty good movies before. He's not new to the X-Men franchise. He did The Wolverine back in 2013, which is a pretty good movie and a vast improvement on X-Men Origins Wolverine. He did a couple of kind of movies that I really like. He did Kate and Leopold and Girl Interrupted back when I was in high school. He did 310 to Yuma, which I know a bunch of people like. He did Walk the Line, which I know a bunch of people love. The guy has a good pedigree.
Yep. The screenplay was by Scott Frank and Michael Green. Scott Frank also worked on The Wolverine. He also did Get Shorty, Minority Report, Flight of the Phoenix, and Marley and Me. And Michael Green has done a lot of TV. Small Villain Heroes. He did Green Lantern. You know, we won't hold that against him, I guess.
It was a good movie. I liked it.
I still haven't seen it. He's also got some movies coming up, Alien Covenant and Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, I'm so undecided on those.
I did see that. We'll talk about trailers later, but I did see the trailer in the movie theater for Alien Covenant. It was an interesting trailer. It starts out one way and it goes another. But we'll get to that after we talk about Logan this time. Blade Runner, haven't seen much of it yet. Haley, did we get box office numbers? Did we get the number one slot of all movies everywhere anytime?
Not quite, but it was number one this weekend. It brought in $88.4 million. It's the fourth biggest R-rated opening weekend of all time.
Hey.
It's got to be big for a March opening, too.
And it was also number four for March.
Huh?
So number four.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Number four.
Second only to Deadpool for R-rated comic book adaptations.
What was Deadpool's opening weekend number?
132 million.
Wow.
So if you add Watchmen to this, you beat Deadpool.
with Logan and Watchmen beat Deadpool. No, that's Deadpool gets it. And I did see a Deadpool trailer as well. It was fun. We'll have to talk about it later.
But I was looking at numbers for the X-Men franchise, and based on the performance of past movies, I expect that this will have 200 to 250 million when it finishes. That's my guess.
Hmm. That would be about what Apocalypse was, wasn't it? About 250?
I don't remember exactly where Apocalypse was, but I really think this one's probably going to be about 220.
And even though you didn't get the grandiose CGI, big, huge fight scenes, like, you know, the world encompassing or the state encompassing, city encompassing, there was a lot of CGI in this movie. Haley, did you know how much it cost to actually produce this, or estimated to produce the movie?
I forgot to pull that information, but I can get it really quickly.
I know it was a lot lower budget than a bunch of the other movies.
$97 million for production.
Wow. Wow. So that it's going to more than double its money, which is pretty good. And it reminded me of the way the story was told, like Star Wars. It was just well cut. It was just a great story in the movie versus depending on all the superpowers and the special effects and stuff like that. The special effects were for a purpose, but the story was paramount to everything else, I think, in Logan.
Also, since we're talking about money, it's got $159 million from foreign box offices so far.
When did it open in the foreign lands? Do you know? Was it the same weekend?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
That I do not know.
Still, that's pretty good. That's a lot of change. Way to go, Fox. You pulled one off.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
They know how to do X-Men movies.
They do know how to do X-Men movies.
They won't be able to do another X-Men movies with Hugh Jackman, though.
Nope.
Because he just wants to eat a burger again. Can't blame him.
He just doesn't want to go to a gym ever again.
Yeah, and I can't blame him because I hate the gym and I like burgers. And I had a burger for dinner and did not go to the gym today. So
I had a cookie with my lunch. So, you know.
Steven, the owner of the Gonna Geek Network, he's linked me a video on Hugh Jackman doing ADR in his last fight scene. So he's running through the woods and he's, you know, doing his Wolverine thing and cutting up people and everything like that. And they filmed him doing the ADR, and he was shirtless and he was just going to town. Was he shirtless? Maybe I was just envisioning things.
Top or something, like a t-shirt.
Yeah, I think he had a golf shirt on. Anyway,
in Star Pie's mind, he was shirtless.
I think in everybody's mind, he's shirtless. Anyway, he's going to town and doing all the sound effects, whatever. And then at the end, where I would be incredibly sheepish seeing somebody actually film me, he was just, hey, how's it going? You know, it's what he does. But now he doesn't have to work out so that he can run through the woods shirtless and shoeless and look good on camera. So
now he'll only be in really good shape instead of ridiculously good shape.
Yeah. I was listening to another podcast talk about this movie, and one of the both of the co-hosts are huge X-Men fans, but one of them was saying that she'd be reading for years about Hugh Jackman's diet and exercise regime and how it's just this like ridiculously torturous, unhealthy thing. And you know, where it's the whole thing of, oh, and then you stop drinking water for a while so that your veins bulge. And it's kind of terrifying. And yeah, I'm honestly kind of relieved that he no longer has to do that, because, again, it's not healthy for people to do that sort of thing.
Playing Wolverine may be bad for your health, right?
Yes.
So he's been playing this role, if I remember correctly, for 17 years?
Yeah, I realized it. He's been Wolverine for my entire adult life.
Yep.
That is, wow. Thank you very much, Hugh Jackman, for giving us Wolverine, playing Wolverine, and then giving us this movie in Logan. Your performance was spectacular. Thank you very much. Now, there were some very big things that happened in this film, and where do you ladies want to start?
Well, I just had a quick question regarding the Wolverine thing. Think back to, you know, 1999, 2000, when you heard about the first X-Men movie, if you remember, you know, hearing about it and it making an impression. What was your opinion when you heard about him being cast?
That he was too tall.
Exactly. I was furious about that. I was so angry for so long until I actually saw the movie and I was like, okay, he's got it. And, you know, fast forward 17 years and I'm like, I can't see anybody playing him ever.
Yeah, the producers did talk about the possible recasting in the future of Wolverine. Nothing's been set in stone, right? Let the man have his, you know, ceremony around the movie and his finale here. It is finale. I don't think we're going to be seeing him on screen ever again.
No, I know contractually they have to keep making movies or, you know, they can't make movies anymore. But it would be nice if they took a break at some point before recasting him, because if you just keep continuously making new movies and then you recast him, it's like, you're not Wolverine. Who are you? What are you doing here?
Just continue on with the X-Men First Class timeline so we can those kids, you know, and Wolverine is off having his Canadian adventures, presumably off screen somewhere.
Yeah, you can just have like news reports about Alpha Force and stuff and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Alpha Flight. Sorry.
I think I was listening to Audibly Exquisite. I know I bring them up a lot, but they're at the top of my playlist because it's alphabetical and I listen to them. So they were talking about the recasting over in the DC universe. So when you think about Superman, who do you think about playing that role?
Dean Cain.
Yeah, Dean Cain.
Wow. So they went Christopher Reeve, which is where I actually would go, but I still
haven't seen those movies.
Yeah. Okay.
But I watched Lois and Clark constantly as a kid. So kind of my picture of both Clark Kent and Superman.
Did you see the end of this week's Supergirl, by the way?
I was geeking out hard. I'm like, oh my God, she's actually talking Superman. And this is so meta.
Yeah, we're talking about Lois and Clark. We're talking about Terry Hatcher and Dean Cain. We're on
also Supergirl. Kevin Sorbo.
And Hercules was there.
Hercules.
Or whoever he played in Andromeda. It was Captain something or other.
Captain Dylan Hunt.
There you go.
The Starship Andromeda Ascendant.
So, getting back to this movie and Hugh Jackman, yes, they can recast the role, but Marvel has done a phenomenal job of not recasting too many key players so far. At some point in time, they're going to have to recast Iron Man or put the character away. And I know they've recasted Hulk, but then they put Mark up for a contract of like 17 appearances or something like that. So they really locked him in for a while. So I know this isn't Marvel Studios, this is Fox, but they've kind of gotten the same thing with the main X-Men. I know they've had recasting along the way, but Wolverine has been Wolverine. And Professor X has been Professor X when you go to the original timeline. It's all been Patrick Stewart. So there's a few characters that it's going to be tough seeing somebody else play them. But here's the thing. Fox already did it with their First Class reboot.
Yeah, they've proven that if you can do it right, then the fans will generally be okay with it. It's just a question of timing and is the story right?
Mm.
And after this movie, I feel like maybe in, you know, 10, 15 years, we might be okay for another Wolverine story. But with the way this went out, I'd honestly be perfectly happy if we didn't get another one until I was really old and gray.
Yeah, like me.
Graying.
So, Haley, do you happen to know how often they have to produce a movie with the character in it? Is it every 5 years, 7 years?
I don't know the details of the contract. I don't know if anybody actually does, but it seems like every 3 years they're putting out a movie. Does that sound right?
Which would allow for some slippages. So you could go like 4 years or.
Well, I don't know if they can.
Oh, yeah. So they're tied there. But does it happen?
Well, no, because they made Deadpool. That was last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, so we're going to have to look into that. But the point being, I think we can't wait 10 years. I think we're going to have to see a Wolverine character.
No. I think they can wait longer than that for a Wolverine movie. They just have to keep making X-Men movies.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, just X-Men in general, not specific characters.
Yeah, they don't have to use a specific character. They just have to use the franchise.
Then that would work out fine if that's the terms of the contract, which I don't have in front of me, nor will I ever, but I could see that in 10, 15 years coming. Well, maybe not 15.
Fox, go ahead and send us a copy of that contract.
Yeah, and while you're at it, Marvel Studios, please give a contract to these ladies to do writing, production, one-shots, that sort of stuff.
Get coffee, whatever.
They'll definitely do that. Okay, so let's go over some of the big parts of this movie, and I put the big one up front, and that is Professor X's death. Charles Xavier dies very brutally.
Okay, so one of the things that I really liked about this movie is that it's a really solid family story. You can really see it as father, son, grandkid. And the way that when you're first introduced to Patrick Stewart, where he's locked in a grain silo and rambling to himself and wheeling around on a wheelchair and just very seemingly lost in his own mind. I don't know if you've ever had a relative with senility, but having to act as a caretaker like that, seeing your relatives have to act like caretakers and seeing somebody that you loved kind of fade away like that, somebody that you knew used to be, you know, greater than this, it's painful. And that really brought it all back to me and brought it down to earth for me. And the interaction, the frustration between him and Logan and him, and the tenderness between him and Laura, that it was just such a good family dynamic. And then when they're finally gaining a measure of peace and he's having just this moment of, I've come to accept what I did. And I think that if I was to die right now, I might not regret it so much. And he thinks he's talking to Logan and it's not, and it's so heartbreaking. And then, but the thing is, he manages to die out in the open, you know, under the stars, when he's been kept in this grain silo closed up for however many years. And it was poetic and it was beautiful, but, you know, very bittersweet.
And he does, along the way, he does take his pills. He does accept the fact that he needs to be taken care of, because if he's not, then bad things will happen. So it's not only to protect him, but it's to protect other people as well, keeping him in an unpopulated area in the metal grain silo or whatever that was.
I thought it was like a water tower.
Yeah, just to try to isolate him, right? And then I was thinking, why the heck do they want to go on this boat? Because Logan's trying to buy a boat to get out there. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to isolate the world from Professor X to protect the world.
And Wolverine's trying to die, because if he drowns, he's dead. So once Xavier dies, he can just throw himself overboard.
If he drowns, he's dead. Really? Because he survived that once.
Well, yeah, because they pulled him up before he was completely dead. He can regenerate.
Except he's not doing that so well anymore.
No.
But, you know, better to risk it by jumping into the ocean, where there's much less of a chance of them retrieving him, because he's going to sink because of his adamantium bones to the very bottom. But as soon as we're going to get a boat, I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, this is not good. This is literally driving off into the sunset. You had the storyline take you through it, because they're actually watching Shane in the hotel in Oklahoma City, is it, I believe?
Something like that, yeah.
I think it was Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. It was a casino. It almost looked like frickin' Vegas to me, but, you know, casinos are everywhere now.
Well, there's tons of casinos in Oklahoma.
Yeah, they're like reservation casinos and stuff. Yep.
Okay, so he is watching Shane, and then later on, with the death scenes, in the burials, they show kind of a similar thing, and it's not the same, because it was so impactful that that whole scenario, I was just riveted. Now, Logan starts beating the crap out of the truck after he buries Charles, because he can't do anything else, and then he collapses because, well, he's dying, or his body is trying to die. And then Laura's got to take care of him. So that whole family scenario there was just very impactful. And Fox and James Mangold, they did an excellent job. And the actors, to pull it together, was just, it was very well, in my opinion, it was very well done. I'm still affected by it. It was, it could have been the violence in the movie too. We'll get to that later. But So not only did Professor X die, Haley, but also Wolverine died as well.
He dies.
He did.
I half expected to see a post-credit scene of his arm popping out of that grave with the claws out.
I would have been so angry if they did that.
I kind of expected it. But no post-credit scene. Just them turning the cross so it was an X.
I knew that there was no post-credit scene going into it. But I stayed anyway because I'm like, who knows? Somebody might have been pulling my leg or whatever. Did you ladies stay through the credits?
Yep. I like reading. Yes. Anyway, I like looking for recognizable names.
Yeah, well, I went to an Alamo Draft House, so we were waiting on our tickets anyways.
So Wolverine died, and he was dead either way because he shoots himself with whatever that drug was from the Essex Corporation. And I think he was going to die once he came down from that. And even if he didn't, the magic bullet is supposed to kill him. So one way or the other, he's dead at the end of this fight here.
See, I didn't think that was going to kill him. I just thought he was in rough shape at that point.
I didn't think the green stuff would kill him, but I figured it was coming soon. I really liked that they pointed out that his healing factor was... because I think this is a plot point in some of the comic arcs. His healing factor is the only thing keeping him from adamantium poisoning. Like, just seriously systemic adamantium poisoning. So if his healing factor starts to go after however many years of continuously battling that, plus all the other stuff from it.
I mean, he's what, like 150 at this point?
Okay, if he's born in 18, whatever, he's probably...
Well, he fought in the Civil War, so he's probably like 100, he's close to 200 years old at this point.
Yeah. Apparently, in the comics, he's born in like the late 1800s.
Yep. That's when the Civil War was.
Well, the Civil War was in the 1860s.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the late... I'm sorry. How old is Wolverine in the movie?
So he was probably born in like 1840 in the movies. So yeah, like 190.
Yeah, something like that. He's old.
Old man. Old man Logan.
Like, they're giving Xavier crap for being old. He's got nothing on Wolverine.
No, but...
he's old, breaking down, and it sucks.
I mean, he's an old guy. He's reduced to his Walmart-style greeter job of driving a chauffeur, driving a limo.
That was so sad.
In this leased 5-year-old limousine, which looks sweet, by the way.
See, I thought it looked kind of rough.
Well, yeah. After they got done shooting it up, yeah.
No, before that, it seemed like not everything was quite lined up the way it was supposed to be.
Like a discount limo.
It was a Chrysler, so...
Yeah, like, it was nice at some point, but it's taken some sharp turns and gone down some hills a little too quick.
I was thinking if there was going to be a car sponsor for this film, like, a lot of the films have car sponsors. Well, we had Chrysler, we had Ram, Dodge Ram, we had Ford, and, of course, we had the Ford Bronco at the end. So, and then whatever else those vehicles were, they weren't name brand vehicles with the Reavers. So, yeah, they had a variety of different, so they spread the wealth. For the on-screen product placement, I guess, would be the best way to describe it.
Did you notice that as the movie kept going along, their vehicles just kept getting progressively crappier?
Yep.
Well, all he's got is 20 grand. That's all he's got because that's all Gabriel had. And he thought he was going to have 50 grand.
And Gabriella.
Gabriel. And at the end, he gave the money back because the reason to have the money was to go get the boat. To get Professor X off, so he doesn't care. The kids do need it more than he did, so.
Yeah, but, like, it's just this kind of beautiful visual metaphor of how close he is to dying. Like, the closer they get to the end of the movie, the worse the car is. It's like the shell is running out. His body is running out. Just everything is sucking worse.
Dude can't even drive in North Dakota. There's nothing to hit in North Dakota. It would have been fine for him to keep driving.
Also, to let the kid drive. I mean, she did drive him to the doctor.
She did. She did indeed. I did look, by the way, for a comic book reference to Wolverine driving a Ford Bronco, but there was none that I could find.
Isn't that kind of similar to the car he drove in Origins?
That was a pickup truck, wasn't it? With a camper on top?
No, that was in the first X-Men movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I haven't seen Origins in so long.
Well, I know Ford's coming out with a new Bronco. So if they can get nostalgia high for the old one, then they can sell more of the new one, right? That's how it works.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So Wolverine has this burial scene, the kids bury him, and Laura, X-23, she takes the cross and she turns it into an X in the ground. And that's basically the end of the film. They all walk off from there. Although it was really cool. Did you see at least one of the kids, if not two, had Wolverine dolls?
Yes.
Yes.
I love that whole... Okay. So I've seen a couple of interpretations of this whole in-universe X-Men comics and merchandise stuff. The one that I like kind of best is that this movie takes place outside of the continuity of the other movies, except for maybe like the first one, because it's much more grounded and the other ones are all very, especially the first class first ones, they're very bright, very colorful, very flashy, and a lot more out of this world. So they can be seen as being the more dramatized stuff. And this one is, you know, the more down to earth. And he's like, well, that's not how it happened. All the other stuff, it's full of crap. You can kind of take it as the other movies being like a continuity within a continuity, if you wanted. I'm not sure how it all lines up. I'm not sure if we'll ever get an answer on how it all lines up, but I kind of like that there is no tidy answer about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know that the timeline has been reset at least once. So this is in the future of a timeline. We just don't know what timeline that is. And it might not be one we've seen, and that's fine.
Right. Well, this is a timeline without mutants. There's only two left. It's Professor X and it's Wolverine. And
no new mutants.
Well, there's no natural born mutants.
Yes.
Right.
Fair.
Okay.
Fair.
Okay. Who here watches Supernatural?
Not in many, many years.
Okay. Well, I don't know. A few years ago, it was the corn syrup that was doing evil things. And I kind of think that with this.
Well,
like they put something in the corn syrup so that there would be no new mutants.
No, they say as much. Like, okay, yeah. I'm about to have a science rant.
Okay.
So when I first saw the movie, it's the only time I've seen the movie so far, one of the things that I noticed that I really liked is you get these little bits of world-building information. Because the big picture isn't really necessary to the story. All that's really necessary to the story is what's important to Professor X, Logan, and Laura. But we have enough to just kind of put together a picture of the background world. We don't need to see the whole picture because it's not their fight anymore. But what we see when we meet that family that they go to is that the family is this small little home farm, little home-owned farm. And they're next to, you know, the big corporation, and they see them spraying the corn. And he says as much, like, you know, this stuff goes everywhere. Who knows what they put in it? And we find out later when talking with that doctor that, yeah, it's the food that's controlling. They put it in people so that it deactivates the ability to produce new mutants so that they can only be controlled. They can control their growth in labs to use as weapons. Now, while I am a fan of using that kind of thinking in world building, it does bug me because it plays on fears of GMOs, genetically modified organisms. And this preys on people's fundamental misunderstanding of how GMOs work. So I used to work in a lab cloning DNA. And one of my jobs was to put an RNA plasmid inside bacteria. And this is essentially gene therapy because you are inducing a foreign genome to move into a desired organism. It's pretty easy to do with bacteria. It's much, 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 much harder to do with a living organism. What they are proposing in this movie is essentially a form of gene therapy because what they're trying to do is to limit people's ability to reproduce a certain gene. And the way that this would happen is that it would have to be a form of gene therapy. Gene therapy can't be done by just eating corn or drinking corn syrup. It's done currently with use of retroviruses, which are viruses that inject DNA or RNA into an individual and change their genome entirely. And this would not survive the cooking and processing and everything that goes on that when corn becomes corn syrup, much less when corn syrup becomes anything else.
See, I assumed it was part of the processing.
What does happen with GMOs is it changes a protein in that organism. So that's how we get stuff like goat can produce spider silk in its milk, because all you're doing is changing this one protein in the milk to be the spider silk. Well, it's multiple proteins. With the extra niacin rice, all you're doing is changing some proteins in the rice to produce more of this certain vitamin, which is an amino acid, vital amino acid. And it's both more and less complex than people know, which is why it makes such a good plot MacGuffin in movies like these, because it sounds sciencey and it sounds vaguely menacing, but in reality, it doesn't work like this. And it kind of adds to the fear. And that is why I both love and hate this element of the plot in the movie. Rant over. I will let y'all get back to talking. Sorry.
It's okay. They got some pretty big, huge combines working those fields too.
Yeah, because it's a lot, because they, like, seriously, they got it right. Most of the corn in the U.S. does go to ethanol and corn syrup production.
Mm. And that is also very true, that we have modified the food that we grow to better work with automated production of food. It's especially true of, like, tomatoes, which are completely different than they were 50 years ago. And it's also why we don't have as much asparagus anymore, because it does not lend itself to automation. Mm-hmm.
I like asparagus.
I do too. Which
enjoy it while you can.
Yeah, and also chocolate. It's why cacao is not doing so well these days, and they're always talking about chocolate shortages.
Mm-hmm. Agave too, right? For tequila?
Yeah, agave. Right now, there's a huge problem in Mexico because of agave plants take like forever to grow and mature to the point where they can be harvested and processed into tequila. And they kind of, I forget if it was overestimated or if there was a disease that swept through, but there is an upcoming shortage of agave.
Mm-hmm. See, I thought it was people started growing something that was subsidized or something like that.
Something, but there
is. It happened like 10 years ago, but we're going to feel it soon.
Because, yeah, agave takes forever to grow to maturity.
It's like alfalfa. Those fields take forever to actually produce anything. But once they're set up to produce, you can actually harvest several times a year. So there you go. Produced in the Midwest and, believe it or not, in California, which is where a lot of corn and cows are also. You think of cows and you think of like cheese, Wisconsin, Minnesota.
Actually, funny story. I know about this. Corn is grown where cows are because traditionally corn was used as cattle feed and you would want it to be close to where your cows are.
Still is.
That's what determines where corn and cows are.
Do you know corn is grown in Hawaii?
And then dairy, yes, also. And it's because of dairy production. Milk has a very short shelf life. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. So you want it to be close to your population centers.
Yes, I do know milk has a very short shelf life. I used to drink milk straight out of the bulk tank, and now I'm lactose intolerant. There has to be.
I am not lactose intolerant. I just don't like milk.
Ah.
I discovered I was lactose intolerant, like, a month ago. Fun times.
Yay. It is.
Things it would have been good to know yesterday.
So there's this future without mutants because of corn. And I have a question. What happened to Magneto?
I don't know. That made me sad. Xavier without Magneto.
It would have been nice to give some sort of throwaway line just to say.
Maybe he was there in Westchester.
Yeah.
Maybe those seven mutants killed. Like, we know that Xavier killed a bunch of people, including seven X-Men.
It makes sense that it would have been like the top X-Men, because they would have been trying to help him or stop him or whatever. So it would have been like his main team at the time. And if he was friends with Xavier or with Magneto at the time, he would have been there trying to stop his friend. Yeah. And something terrible happened.
It all depends on if they're on again or off again.
Well, this would have been on again, but quickly off again.
Oh, why would you do that?
So let's talk about X-24. I did some research into the comics, not having a great big history of it, and apparently X-24 isn't really in the comics too much because the original story had X-23 through X-50 being cloned, and that Laura destroyed 24 through 50, so X-24 really never...
Yeah, she killed all the other clones.
Yeah, X-24 never made it out. So this was, I guess, the debut of X-24 into the Marvel Universe?
But Logan has a son in the comics.
Oh, yeah.
Who is his biological son, and Laura is actually his clone. So if you flip, did we just see Dakin on screen?
I kind of thought the same thing. And Dakin killed all of Wolverine's other illegitimate children.
Yep.
No. He forced
Wolverine to kill them.
Yeah. Yes.
In the room and forced Wolverine to kill them. And then told them, hey, these are your kids. Because Dakin hates Wolverine. Like, hates him.
Which is why we probably don't get a lot of Logan's family life in the movies.
Yeah. Very dysfunctional.
A little bit complicated. So let's talk about the fights in the entire movie. You had the highway turnoff fight to begin with. You had, I will call it the Road Warrior scene around.
Well, I mean, no, even you get an opening scene with a brutal face stabbing fight.
Yeah, from the beginning, you know that this is going like, to not be
okay. Your... If you did bring your 4-year-old and you didn't know what you were going to get, now you know. Now you can take the 4-year-old out.
I have a thought about that scene, by the way. It just bugged me. So he drives off after he's done whatever, decapitated, stabbed in the head sort of thing. He drives off. There's lug nuts missing. Isn't he worried about that wheel coming off?
No, they couldn't get the lug nuts off.
Some of the lug nuts came off because they were recovered from the scene.
Yeah, get all of them.
I mean, how many lug nuts do you really need?
It's like that old thing. If you lose one, you just move the other ones around.
So from experience, I can definitely say you lose a lug nut and your tire becomes out of balance.
So do you really think after all the other stuff that goes wrong with every single other car he drives in the movie, that he cares if a car is out of balance?
Well, it's leased. He might want the deposit back.
Well, it's already been shot, so.
I mean, once it's shot, I mean, you got to figure you're not getting the deposit back, so might as well go wild.
Okay, so you get that fight, which was brutal, and it started everything. And then you had the Road Warrior scene. I'm just going to call it Road Warrior scene, where they're racing the train, and you got all the motorcycles and the Reaver vehicles, off-road vehicles, whatever. It looked like Road Warrior to me. It just did. Sorry. And so you had that going on. And that is, by the way, where you first see X-23 in action, and that kid can flip.
So I know that in reality, it was probably a very tiny stunt person, but just everything about any time X-23, Laura, you know, had a fight scene. First of all, I love this kid. Mm-hmm. Just the whole weird dissonance of, you know, cute little kid seeing all this stuff in the world for the first time and just kind of bugging the crap out of Wolverine. And then sudden tiny little murder death machine. And she's, you know, she's screaming like a little wild animal. And you know, she has the cute little, she has a cute little rainbow shirt and she's using
pink sunglasses.
Yeah, her pink sunglasses. And then, you know, she decapitates a guy and throws his head. And then it's just like, this kid is hardcore and the actress is really good.
So with the rainbow shirt, would that make her a brony?
No, it didn't have a pony on it.
Okay. Yep. It was close though. You got to admit, it was close.
Okay. Speaking of X-23, all right, Wolverine was an adult when they put adamantium on all his bones and stuff. She's a child who still has to grow and stuff. How are you supposed to grow with adamantium encasing your bones?
It's only on her claws.
Is it?
Yes. Canonically, in the comics and here, judging by the video stuff that they showed of her getting the adamantium operations, it's only on her claws, on her arms and on her feet.
And she has the same amount of claws, by the way, as Wolverine. They're just
distributed differently.
Yeah. Which actually Charles Xavier describes why.
Mm-hmm. Shouldn't her claws grow too, though? Like every other bone?
Yeah, but I guess they figure, hey, this is long enough.
They could replace them eventually, right?
That's probably what they were figuring. Oh, we'll just add more later.
And they weren't going to do that because they were going to kill her.
Well, that wasn't the plan initially.
No,
that wasn't the plan initially, but
they didn't, it kind of scrapped. It's like, nah, we're not going to do that.
Yeah. Once they realized, oh, we raised these kids, so they have things like feelings.
Where do those come from? Okay. Who watched Dark Angel? Because this, the kid farm, very much made me think of Dark Angel.
Well, it's kind of a staple of science fiction. I mean, go back into history to even the Spartans and stuff, and, you know, training children to be brutal killers. It's not new.
No.
But it's really shocking to see on screen.
Which is specifically like raising them in a lab to become brutal killers made me think of Dark Angel. Yeah. Also, that show took place in 2029. No, never mind. It was 2019. Sorry.
I'm happy that this had the original X-23 entrance of her being like really young. And okay, so X-23 was actually created for the X-Men Evolution TV show by Yost, whatever, and was later imported into the comics where they gave her like a way edgier intro where, you know, after she broke out of the lab, she was a prostitute and just all this other stuff. And like, I like her in the comics, but I always felt like they tried a little bit too hard for a while with her. But this, I really loved. It had the right, I feel like, tone of somebody trying to be human and somebody who wasn't raised completely without humanity, because again, the nurses, they tried, because it's, you know, it's kids.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a second. In the X-X Corporation down in Mexico City, apparently anybody can just bring their cell phone in and start videoing stuff as it's happening.
You don't want to know how she got it in.
You don't want to know how she got it in.
They forgot to do the cough test.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. So we had the Road Warrior scene, which had X-23 come. Oh, by the way, her entrance as X-23, where she's just carrying the Reaver's head and then just tossing it out in front of everybody. And then everybody's like backing up and stuff.
Well, no, the best part of that is before, when it's like, you know what's going to happen because you've seen movies before and you just start hearing the cries of dying henchmen coming from outside, from inside the building.
Hell.
Okay, who's next?
He just keeps trying to abandon her like a puppy.
Yep. How much do those guys have to be getting paid to watch their buddy's head roll across the parking lot and be like, okay, I'll go next.
Right.
Also, why do you give your henchmen one robot arm? Why don't you give them two robot arms and two robot legs?
Well, if something goes wrong with it, you need a human hand to go over and, you know, do the screwdriver thing.
You use the other robot hand to fix it.
Yeah. Well, what if they're both broke?
In Donald Pierce's case, who, by the way, is the cyborg, the Reavers in the comics, they want to be more than human, so they make themselves into cyborgs. Donald Pierce in here, we see him getting attacked in some of the footage, the cell phone footage, by, I think it's X-23, and that's why he has a prosthetic hand. Later on, when we see the kids trying to escape, we see another Reaver get his hand frozen off by one of the kids. So I feel like we can probably presume that a lot of those missing limbs are due to the kids lashing out.
Okay, so they're sticking with it because they've got a vendetta.
Mm-hmm. I think it's personal. They really hate these kids.
It's not Reaver business. It's personal.
I mean, yeah, they're getting banked too, but...
Then you had the Oklahoma City seizure and escape, and the whole seizures thing, I think, was important because for one thing, Charles was protecting himself and Laura. And for another thing, you understood why he was in seclusion and what might have happened in Westchester. So I think that was a good use of a fight or an encounter, so to speak. But this wasn't a heck of a lot of fighting done. It was mostly just stabbing.
Yeah, you got like a little taste of, oh, this is bad, when they're back in Mexico and it's just Wolverine and Caliban. But when you see just this entire casino just frozen and the looks on everyone's faces, is they're like, oh my God, I can't move. I'm trapped in my own head. What's going on? It hurts. It hurts. And you realize, well, first of all, this is bad. Second of all, nobody can breathe for an extended period of time. And third of all, oh, he hasn't been taking his medication, which I kind of figured earlier in the movie. You realize, yeah, this is pretty bad.
And he wasn't taking his medication because he was trying to be lucid enough to be an asset in case something like this happened. So I think it was justified, but at the end...
did not work out so well.
Well, they escaped, and they wouldn't have.
Things. Well, it's like, again, if you know you were a person in your life is, you know, chronically ill, and you're supposed to... It's like, if you've ever had, like, say, a mental illness or something that requires daily medication... A lot of times, because the brain is a very, very, very delicate organ, it's hard to get dosages right. So while experimenting, while the doctors are trying to figure out what works best for you, a lot of times maybe you'll get put on a medication that doesn't work so well. It makes you feel like a lot of times the word zombie-like is used. And sometimes people will be like, oh, I've been feeling fine since I've been on this medication for a while. So people will go off their meds without telling anyone. And sometimes bad things happen, whether for that person or someone else, mostly just that person. Like, side effects of withdrawal are not fun. But that's another example here of why you should talk to your doctors.
Yep. Always talk to your doctors, especially if you have adamantium cursing through your bones and claws and stuff like that.
Don't get adamantium plating on your bones.
To be fair, I don't think anybody ever really had a choice about that.
Well, yeah, but just as a general life choice.
Like, if somebody asks you if you want adamantium plating, you should probably say no.
Yeah, just moving forward.
All right, let's go to the pump station fight then. And I think that it was like the only levity really in the whole movie, although there were bits and pieces of it. But you had Wolverine standing up to a bunch of
corporate rednecks,
pretty much. And you knew how that was going to go from the beginning. You didn't know who was going to end up dead or hurt or missing a limb, but you knew that Wolverine was going to come out on top no matter what happened. And this the whole way, the old gunslinger that's reluctant, that doesn't want to do this, but knows that he has to, and then does it. And you would think, wouldn't he be a public figure? Wouldn't you think all of America would know what Wolverine looks like?
They know what the comic book Wolverine looks like. And plus, let's face it, he doesn't look much like Wolverine anymore.
It's hard to recognize him without the yellow spandex.
Okay. We'll just run with that one. But it sets up what happens in probably the most pivotal scene in the entire movie, aside from Wolverine's death later on. And that is the whole farmhouse fight where the family gets massacred. You have the revelation in Battle with X-24. You have Charles Xavier's death. You have the death of Caliban, who we haven't really talked about yet. And you have the moving on of the rest of the story, but it was one of the most brutal scenes and pivotal scenes, I think, in the movie. And I think they did it very well. The battle of the farmhouse was great, especially with Munson. I believe that was his name. He protects Wolverine and then he wants to shoot him and dies before he can. Well, he was out of bullets and then he dies before he can reload.
Yeah, it was, again, it was, there's so much you could read into all that because, you know, it's this family that they helped out because Professor X is like, come on, you can stop being such a crappy person. You can still be a good person. So they go to help out this family and the family convinces them to stay for dinner and they play out this little fiction of, oh yeah, we're a family too. We're on a road trip. And Laura hangs out with their kid and listens to music and is having a good time, and Logan's helping them out and gets to be a hero for a bit. And then everything goes horribly wrong.
Because of course it does.
And again, it's that sort of normal people hate and fear mutants. But it's kind of even more poignant if you look at it because this is a black family. And this is a family that is also marginalized, both because historically in America, because of their race, because of the fact that they're this, you know, small family-owned farm in the middle of this big corporate farming community. You look and you see the corporate rednecks, and it's very clear, you know, the undertones are there, the racial undertones are there. And X-Men, the mutants, have historically, well, since their inception in the comics, have been kind of a stand-in for whatever minority, which has included, you know, race and gender and sexuality and ethnicity and just all this other stuff. So the fact that Wolverine at the end had been shown himself to be so brutal that even somebody who should have related to him was horrified by him. It's again, it's that whole, you can't shake off being a killer thing.
It was a very impactful scene for me, Haley. How would you rate the scene in relation to the rest of the movie?
That chunk of the story kind of, I mean, that's the biggest hit of the movie, is we take the time to bond with this other family and he sees, you know, this is the life you could have. You could still have this. And then it's all destroyed.
Yeah, best day of Professor X's life, at least for, I don't know if he said it was the best day of his life ever or best day in a long time.
Probably best day since whatever happened in Westchester.
Probably, yeah. And then you had Caliban, who self-sacrificed himself, so he couldn't be used anymore, probably take out some of the bad guys with him to allow Charles and Wolverine to escape and to do as much damage as he can. And there's that. Caliban, by the way, this was his second iteration in the...
Third, actually.
Okay. I did read a lot about his appearance in Apocalypse, X-Men Apocalypse, and the fact that he was written in both movies independently, that there was no correlation between the two at all, and actually this team was surprised, the Logan team was surprised when they saw him involved in the Apocalypse project, but they had decided to cast different actors for the roles there. And what was the third one?
Very brief appearance in X3.
Oh, I have not seen X3 because you ladies told me not to.
It's probably for the best.
It's for the best, but again, I nerd out over the cameo appearances. I'm a terrible person.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to sit down on a Sunday afternoon and watch all the movies, that's fine, but don't take the special time to watch X3.
Can you watch all the movies in a Sunday afternoon anymore? I don't think you can.
Over the course of a week, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, you do them in blocks. Like, you would do X-Men, X2, X3, and then you would do, like, you could do the Wolverine block, and then you could do the, First Class Days of Future Past block.
Wow. So the person that's LCD and wants to go front to back, you're saying it's okay to do an...
Actually, I'm OCD. The other is a type of screen.
Well, OCD, LCD, it doesn't matter. The point is, you try to watch front to back in chronological order, and you're okay with doing blocks versus chronologically?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. And sorry for calling you LCD. On International Women's Day as well. That's when we're recording this, by the way.
Yeah, I'm obviously LED.
Because you're so bright.
Yeah,
actually, that's just the fireball.
I should have played that entirely different. All right, and then let's talk about the final fight, because I want to talk about the final fight in terms of the Wolverines fighting together. So you had Logan, and when he finally gets to him and he's all juiced up and everything, he gets to Laurie and he says, "Get behind me," and they automatically fight as a well-tuned machine, where Logan's in front, he's taking the bullets before he gets in there brunt and takes on the first wave, and then Laura just goes right over him and his back and then launches into the back, and they're fighting cohesively together without any training at all. It is amazing.
And then Wolverine craps out because he's dying and his metabolism has burned through all the green stuff.
Yeah.
And is terrible, and he gets stabbed on a tree because X-24 has much, much rage issues.
And he's also younger. I mean, I'm surprised Logan kept up with him as long as he did, because not only was Logan older, but he's also hurt more. I mean, he's gotten shot and he's gotten hurt, so he's holding his own. Logan actually did pretty well in this final battle, considering everything he was up against, so.
He was motivated.
Is that all it takes? Get some kids across the North Dakota border before there's a wall built between Canada and the United States. Is that what it is?
I mean, who doesn't want to flee to Canada?
By the way, 2029 and no wall between the border of North Dakota and Canada. Just saying. Moving ahead, CGI. I didn't realize how much CGI there was in this movie. There was a ton of CGI. The main characters, in a lot of cases, were CGI'd in this movie. And I had no idea. Until I got home and started reading some articles, I was like, really? What? Huh? I mean, I talked about it before, the whole Road Warrior scene, that wasn't Hugh Jackman driving the limo. That was another actor. And they superimposed, Hugh on there. That was some, wow.
So speaking of the Road Warrior, this is the kind of use CGI in the same way that George Miller used it in Mad Max Fury Road, where it's, if you go back and you look at like the making of stuff, behind the scenes stuff, they used a lot of CGI in Fury Road, but it doesn't look like it because they use it to like enhance what's already there. And for the most part, this movie used it the same way. Yes, we got the scenes like that, but as much as they could, it seemed like they tried to use what was already, we got the enhancements of the scene, but it wasn't a big showstopper piece, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I was watching X-Men Apocalypse right before we went to the movies, or right after. I think it was the day after, actually. And I was kind of struck at just the difference visually between the very subdued world of Logan and like the really bright, flashy, shiny world of X-Men Apocalypse. Especially Oscar Isaac's freaking Power Rangers makeup. Oh my God.
Olivia Munn. That's all you need to say.
It was such a criminal waste of Oscar Isaac, though.
A lot of people take issue to Apocalypse. I think it will go down in history as maybe a step above X3. But yeah, a lot of people don't like it because of various different things. But it did okay in the box office, I think, because people were expecting great things.
It was like half a good movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed, I think, even more than half of it. Just the things that were problems were very obvious problems.
Yeah.
Talking about problems, I need to bring this up. And I know we started to have a conversation before we recorded, and then we stopped. We were like, okay, we'll save it for the show. I have a problem with the whole comic book storyline at the end where they're following these comic books, including the locations in the comic books, to go to this Eden. And
well, it's because they were all following the comic book. So there was nothing in particular there for them to find. It's just they all were going there. So that was the place that they all went.
Yeah, it wasn't like a secret message in the comic book or anything. It was just they had grown up reading these comics. This was a location that they all could remember because they'd been reading these comics forever. So they're like, okay, we'll meet here at this spot since we have determined that it does act this particular location, if not Eden itself, does actually exist. We'll meet up here and then we'll go.
I guess I can understand that, but it just came across to me as cheesy. Like you're ingesting X-Men comics into an X-Men movie. It was not meta to me. It was very cheesy, and I don't want to see the comic books in the movie.
So these young mutants are the offspring of presumably dead mutants.
Well, not offsprings, but clones, but okay.
Their children.
In this version of them, they are the children of.
Yeah, they have the genetic material from other mutants, and they impregnate. With them, which, by the way, I was glad that they brought in, because exploitation of the poor, especially poor women, is a thing that happens.
There's going to be a whole movie about that coming out pretty soon too.
Which one? There's so many.
I know. I'm talking about the futuristic ones where these women are brought in to have babies for their barren.
The Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
That TV, it's a very good book. And the TV series actually comes out on my birthday. And very, very relevant these days. But what was I saying? Oh, yeah. These kids, this is kind of like, I guess, this was those nurses' ways of, like, I guess, preserving their heritage. Like, this is where you came from, these heroes. And when these kids break out, these kids who were supposed to be weapons, they're inspired by these heroes. They go to a place from these comics that they were inspired by. And when they escape, they are the next generation. They are literally the next generation of X-Men. They have the potential to be the heroes. This is all about how the dying last generation, they were hope, thought, you know, they were the end. And it turns out they have this new hope. They inspired this new generation, and they find their own hope in that new generation.
You know what? I kind of want Emma Frost and Kitty Pryde to find them and start a school to train them.
That would be awesome. If they're still around, which I don't think they are, but that would.
Oh, they totally could be. They're like living together in Iceland.
Canada. They're in Canada.
Just bickering constantly.
Well, I went to Canada. And yes, they're, it's like an odd couple type.
Yeah, that's great. And we should run down the suspected kids that were in the group, maybe at a later date. We're running a little long and we still have a lot more to cover. I want to cover the comic books themselves. By the way, they weren't real comic books. They were made up specifically for this movie by some very high level people in Marvel. I think Joe Quesada, I believe, wrote them. I could be wrong on that. His name is popping into my head. I don't have the article in front of me as what I read. So the comic books weren't real and the covers were specifically designed and redone for the movie. And the comic book number, the issue numbers, like 117 and 138, I believe, are actually pivotal Uncanny X-Men issue numbers that relate to this movie. I believe one was the...
One was probably the first appearance of Logan in the X-Men comics or something.
That was Giant Size X-Men number one.
Okay.
The first appearance was in The Incredible Hulk, I think number 188.
I believe the Dr. Rice, the introduction of Dr. Rice, I believe, and the X-Men going after Dr. Rice was 138. I could be mistaken about that. I can't remember what 117 was. So they were symbolic to the story going on, but they weren't actual comics. Although I'm sure somewhere out there, there's going to be special issues released of those. So you can actually go out and read them, including the geo coordinates of North Dakota. And it would be interesting. You know what I didn't do? I didn't take an aerial look at those coordinates in North Dakota. I should do that.
Geocachers out there in the area who like to go look and haven't already, go check it out. I want to know.
I'm sure they have already, but that is awesome. Geocachers, which I didn't know anything about until about last year, but there are people that actually go and hide stuff and leave clues for other people to go and see at a specific coordinate. And so, and we're not talking about the GPS that's in your car, by the way. These are GPSs that can go anywhere and they go find them. And it's called geocaching, where you hide something or you cache it and then you geolocate it.
How did you not know about that? It seems like it'd be right up your alley.
Yeah, I kind of skipped over it. We'll have to talk about that offline. So there were the comic books and it was a great movie. I think I don't want to rate it above everything else. I mean, there was the original X-Men movie. There was X-Men First Class. And then there's this high ratings. Ladies, is this top three for you or where do you think it falls?
Let me start by telling Patrick Stewart's story about when he went and saw the premiere with Hugh Jackman. And he's, you know, at the end of the movie, he looked over and he had tears on his face and Hugh Jackman had tears on his face. And they were like, that's it. That's, you know, we're done. What stacks up against this? I don't know that anything does.
Were there tears in their eyes because it was so well done or was there tears in their eyes because this was it? Or was it a combination, though?
I think they were so moved by the story that they knew that this was it.
Okay, there was no future.
There's no follow-up to this.
Yeah, they're done. They're both done. Although I could see Patrick Stewart coming back. Like, this is 2029, and we left off the X-Men, I don't know.
In the 80s.
Yeah, apparently he said that he would be okay with coming back for, like, a cameo on Legion.
That would be good.
That would be good. I have seen Legion up to episode 4, and it's making more sense to me now, by the way.
Oh, but see, I'm more confused than ever.
Well, there's that, too. I mean, things are coming into focus, but then because they're coming into focus, there's a whole bunch of other things that you got to worry about as well. So that's a story for another time. We might actually cover that in the off season, and we'll just see how that goes. All right, trailers.
Real quick, before we leave off of Logan, two things I would recommend if you liked this movie. One of them is very clearly the inspiration behind it. It's a story called Lone Wolf and Cub. It was originally a manga. It's also a movie. Shogun Assassin is the translation in the US. And it was the inspiration for Road to Perdition, both the comic and the movie. The other one, if you really related to X-23, it's a book called The Girl with All the Gifts. And it's about another little girl who is raised in a horrible facility where the kids are like killers, basically. And it's about to be a movie that's out later this year. So check those out. They're kind of, when I was watching the movie, those were the two things I kept thinking of the whole time.
And before we leave Logan, I want to run down the actors involved. Of course, Hugh Jackman was Logan You had Patrick Stewart as Dr. Charles Xavier. You had Daphne Keene, I believe that's how you say her name, as Laura or X-23. Donald Pierce was played by Boyd Holbrook. Caliban was played by Stephen Merchant. Gabriella was played by Elizabeth Rodriguez. Dr. Rice was played by Richard E. Grant. Will Munson, Eric LaSalle. And there was a whole bunch of new mutant kids in there, which I don't know if they're going to be recast or not, if they go forward with this storyline or not, but it could be some of the same actors. It's the way Fox rolls with X-Men. It might not be. So lots of good things there. Haley, you have any last things to say before we leave Logan?
Not that I can think of.
All right. So trailers. I saw this movie Sunday afternoon in a 2D standard theater. It was about half full, which I would expect on a Sunday afternoon. It was the 6 o'clock showing, 6 p.m., by the way, not a.m. showing. And there was, you could tell the whole audience hadn't seen it yet. So we enjoyed seeing it together. There were chuckles at the right places, and there was a lot of cringing going on through the entire movie. And I will say the silent parts where you normally hear popcorn rustling or people like moving in their chairs or something like that, there was nothing. It was silent. It was, everybody was captivated by it. And I didn't realize it had been over 3 hours from the time that I went into the movie until I left the theater. Until, you know, my bladder said, oh, by the way, we need to stop at the bathroom. I'm like, okay, here we go. But at the beginning of the movie, I did see some trailers. Alien Covenant, who has Catherine Waterston, Michael Fassbender, which is an interesting choice for that movie.
Well, he was in the last one.
Exactly. But, you know, where was his character at the end of the movie?
A head in a bag.
There you go. Naomi Rapace, is that how you pronounce her last name? Rapace? I probably am getting that wrong. Sorry, Naomi. And James Franco, who I didn't recognize in the trailer until I came back home and looked at the IMDb. I was like, oh, that was James Franco. I should have got that. So there you go. War of the Planet of the Apes, which I didn't realize Judy Greer was in there, but she is. So Woody Harrelson, Judy Greer, Andy Serkis, and Steve Zahn. I was on a plane ride with Steve Zahn one Christmas day. It was a fun, he was with his small kids back then, which are probably all grown up and driving by now, but it was a fun plane ride. Dunkirk, which, okay, so it's a World War II movie, England.
It's got James Darcy in it.
Yeah. The Fate of the Furious, which has everybody in the Fast and the Furious franchise, except for those who are no longer with us. And The Ghost in the Shell with Scarlett Johansson, Life, which I'm talking about horror movies. I don't think I'm going to like that one. That's with Jake Gyllenhaal and Ryan Reynolds. The Circle, which I had not seen. Did you guys get the trailer for The Circle?
Nope.
Have you guys seen the trailer for The Circle?
Nope.
Okay, so take like a Google campus or an Apple campus, a Yahoo campus, something like that, in this circular building, donut building, whatever you want to call it. And it's this company that's trying to control everybody's lives, and they're trying to record everything and just know what's going on in everybody's lives. So you got Emma Stone, you got Tom Hanks, Bill Paxton, RIP Bill Paxton, but he's in this movie, Karen Gillan, John Boyega, who I know is a favorite of Lauren's.
Yes.
And Patton Oswalt, who's all our favorites. So it's kind of a freaky movie, but it's got a lot of key actors in it. And I'm looking forward to seeing it just because of the talent in the movie. And then, of course, there was the fun companion teaser trailer, companion to Logan, Deadpool. And I know you guys saw the Deadpool trailer. So what did you think about his phone booth type trailer?
It was perfect.
It's 2017. Why is there a phone booth in the middle of the street?
Yep.
That was great.
Lauren, what did you see?
Okay, so I saw it at a Star Cinema Grill, which is kind of like an Alamo, except not really. It was Saturday morning. The theater was packed. Let's see, I saw Ghost in the Shell. I saw Power Rangers, Fate of the Furious. The Promise with Oscar Isaac. Chips, which and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Haley, where'd you see it and what'd you see in trailers?
Saw it Sunday evening at an Alamo Draft House, which, you know, there was like a 4-year-old there.
Oh, jeez. So, was the 4-year-old drinking?
Not that I saw.
Jeez.
But there must have been more trailers than I don't remember them. But I know for sure that I saw Alien Covenant, Ghost in the Shell, the Deadpool teaser thing, and Power Rangers.
What'd you like about the trailers?
I'm so psyched for Power Rangers. I have been since the first trailer, but I'm just so psyched to see Power Rangers.
I probably would be if I was born like 15 years later.
Power Rangers is the first TV show I really remember watching.
I think it was the first TV show I remember not watching, like shutting off. Like, I can't go there right now. So I think, yeah, I'm that old. If the gray in the beard doesn't clue you in, yeah, I am old. Old man. Old man SP.
Oh, and during the movie, I had an old man Logan to drink.
Nice. So, everybody, this has been our coverage of Logan. It was we ran long this week, but we had to. It was just that good of a movie. It needed a little bit extra coverage. We didn't even cover everything that we wanted to, but I think it's time to move on. So if you have anything to bring to us about your views of Logan, please don't hesitate to contact us. We would be glad to drop it in the feedback section of a future show. In the meantime, we're going to get on to some news.
It seems that Deadpool and Wolverine can't stop trolling each other. As we all know, Hugh Jackman is planning to retire the clause after this one. And Ryan Reynolds had some things to say about that.
Well, if you're retiring the clause, I mean, if... Even if he didn't die, if you have to physically grab the claw and pull it so it's fully extended, I think you might think about either removing them or getting rid of them. That's one of the two.
Right. So Hugh Jackman had shared a picture from probably the release, I guess, in Beijing. And Ryan Reynolds responded with, "Pretty sure those are protesters." And it just goes on from there.
It would have been great seeing the two of them on screen. And it would be nice to see Hugh Jackman just with a brief little cameo into Deadpool, because timeline wise, it could still be there.
He shows up just as Hugh Jackman.
That would be good.
It would be good. And if he does the same thing that he did in X-Men First Class to Deadpool that he did to Professor X, and that'd be awesome. Language and all, that would work actually in a Deadpool movie.
Inhumans starts filming in Honolulu, and we've got some leaked set images.
We covered some of these on Gonna Geek, by the way, and it wasn't much, but it did prove that they were in Honolulu filming. The question came up, though, Honolulu or Hawaii has been filmed a lot, whether it's Lost, whether it's Magnum P.I., whether it's what's that new cop show, Hawaii 5-0, which is, you know,
is that still reboot on?
Yes, it's still on, and it's not that new.
Well, the new Hawaii 5-0, because there was an old Hawaii 5-0 too.
Well, let's start by talking about the most important thing. What's going to Geek do in stepping on our turf?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, step back.
Yeah, you would have to talk to Steven about that. He did ask me, as the producer of and the director of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., what I thought about it. And I was thinking, well, you know, hey, we're going to get it. It'll be interesting to see what happens with it. And then at the time, we didn't know when the Inhumans release date was going to be. So I was speculating on if it was going to be a half season with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then the Inhumans, or what was going on. It was Inhumans going to be the replacement of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC, basically. Well, now we know a little bit more.
Well, if they're shooting in Hawaii, I would assume they're planning on using the jungles there a lot, because there are cheaper places to film if you don't need a jungle.
Yeah, actually, I'm looking at the Twitter account Real News Hawaii, R-E-E-L News Hawaii, which is, you know, news about filming in Hawaii. And the most recent one from 31 minutes ago was production of ABC and Marvel's Inhumans filmed near Diamond Head in Hawaii, which is this land formation that looks kind of like a
diamond. It's an extinct volcano just to the east of Waikiki Beach on the south side of the island.
Yes.
Is there going to be a villain with a lair inside of a volcano?
The Inhumans Diamond Head location is this old military installation called Battery Harlow. So maybe
there are old World War II bunkers, not the bunkers themselves, but the remnants of the bunkers on Diamond Head that could be used as foundations for something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool.
By the way, if you haven't been, go ahead. You know, stay in Waikiki. You can easily walk to it and then walk up. A lot of people do it to see the sunrise or sunset, Diamond Head. So if you get a good weather day, which is Hawaii, odds are it's going to be a good weather day, you can go do it. But just keep in mind, good footwear, lots of water, and it's going to take a lot more time than you think.
Oh, yeah. But it's very pretty.
Well, we've talked about some of the casting for Inhumans before, but we finally have a list of the full cast. We're just going to run through that real quick, and I'm going to butcher some of these names like Star Pie would. So in the lead with Black Bolt, we've got Anson Mount, who Medusa.
In the costume, in those pictures.
Yep. He's probably best known for Hell on Wheels. Sarinda Swan from Graceland will be playing Medusa. Ewan Rion from Game of Thrones is going to be playing Maximus, who's the brother of Black Bolt and probably the villain or villainish guy for this series. Kin Lung from Star Wars The Force Awakens will be playing Karnak. Ime Ikwakor from Concussion will be playing Gorgon.
Mm.
Isabel Cornish from Australia Day is going to be playing Crystal, who is the sister of Medusa and in the comics, a love interest for Johnny Storm.
Nice.
Doesn't she end up marrying, or she's Quicksilver's ex-wife?
Maybe.
Yeah, she's Quicksilver's ex-wife and they have a daughter named Luna.
That sounds entirely probable.
So if Crystal is the girlfriend, did you say, of Johnny Storm?
Yes.
Is that what you said? Do you think they could adapt it in the MCU to be the girlfriend of Captain America?
Maybe, but I don't think they would.
I mean, because it would be like Johnny Storm cloaked. For those that aren't getting where I'm going, is Captain America actually played Johnny Storm in an earlier version of Fantastic Four?
Yes.
A better version.
Chris Evans.
Mike Moe from Empire will be playing Triton. Sonia Balmores from Soul Surfer is Aran. Ellen Woglum from Californication is an undisclosed character.
Mm.
And no casting listed, but Lockjaw will be in this series.
Nice. Yeah. A 2,000-pound canine companion. How are they going to do that on a TV budget?
Probably sparingly. But that was what made me happiest about those filming images. The big blue screen puppy.
There were a lot of blue screens in the filming, by the way. And there weren't huge blue screens. They were just like in one specific area. So I don't know what the technology is to insert something like that anymore. But the screens themselves weren't like enormous. They were basically the size of like a hot dog stand.
Maybe they're just going to like film a dog and then use CGI to enlarge it.
Yeah, why not? What kind of dog do you think? I mean,
the camera does add 10 to 15 pounds.
Lockjaw looks like a bulldog.
Yep. With like a weird thing on his head.
Small little bulldog puppy and turn it into 2,000 pound Lockjaw. Okay, there you go. What do you think the puppy's name is going to be? Offset. Real life. Cuddles?
Enid.
Okay.
Spot.
Spot. All right, so... Ouch. Haley, what is this? Iron Fist?
So, some reviews have started coming out for it. It premieres next week. Thursday night / Friday, for those of you that are not aware. And it is not getting very good reviews. The biggest complaint that I remember seeing while I wait for this page to load is that, you know, it's supposed to be a kung fu show and the kung fu sucks.
Yeah.
I remember seeing early trailers of it and it seemed to be filmed okay, but we didn't see a lot of kung fu, so.
Mm. So... Yeah.
That looks like what most of these reviews are, is that the action scenes, the fight scenes, leave a lot to be desired.
Yeah, IO9 also, like, some more reviews have come in since these just initial reviews, like IO9 just published theirs. Yeah, they really should have hired somebody who actually knows martial arts. That seems painfully obvious. I've read some stuff from actual martial artists who know kung fu, and there's some really, really elementary stuff that just really slipped through the cracks. And it's like, come on, guys. Even I know this isn't right. And that's not even mentioning we've brought up the kind of problematic race stuff in the past and the implications of the fact that this is a holdover from the 70s of Danny Rand's whole storyline.
Right.
And it seems like that is another big part of the criticism. Because it's not just, oh, it's a white guy doing martial arts. It's more, there's literally a part where he explains martial arts to a woman who is also a martial artist and presumably knows just as much, if not more, than him.
Hmm.
So
we'll see. In the meantime, by the way, we are continuing our watch through Luke Cage with episode 6 next week. Suckers Need a Bodyguard. That will be Wednesday, March 15th. So we're still on Luke Cage. I'm sure the ladies will be tearing through Iron Fist as it comes out. I, however, will wait at least until the end of our Luke Cage watch through, which Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just seems to bother us in the schedule and doesn't give us a lot of time. That's why we have been so far behind in Luke Cage, but we will be getting through that early this summer and then moving on to Iron Fist. So that's Iron Fist. Next into the MCU, we're looking at the first look of Thor Ragnarok.
Right. So the big thing is that there's a new Entertainment Weekly cover that has Thor along with a couple of the supporting characters on the cover. And the most important thing to note is that his beautiful flowing hair is missing.
It's all gone.
How are we supposed to imagine running our fingers through it?
I know. Oh, no.
Okay, then.
We also got like a picture of Jeff Goldblum or something.
Yeah. There's also Kate Blanchett looks pretty cool as hella. I mean, there's a picture.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
Valkyrie looks fantastic. Jeff Goldblum, he's rocking the blue eyeliner.
I still have not seen Independence Day. Yeah, whatever it was called that came out last year. I am looking forward. I actually have the Blu-ray and I am looking forward to seeing it and Jeff in it, but I haven't seen it yet. So I don't know how it would compare.
Also, Meow Meow is missing.
Yes. He has like a shield and like a mace or something.
Right. Plus some swords on his back, but no hammer.
Huh.
He has like some awesome paint on his face.
Mm-hmm. Like some war paint. And it's on his face and then it goes down his armor and the side of his leg too.
Yeah, and it's got like sigils. Cool.
It's pretty cool looking.
Isn't he supposed to fight the Hulk in this movie?
Yeah, it seems like it's on, I'm blanking out on the name, but the planet that Hulk goes to, Planet Hulk, Sakaar.
Well, we'll keep our eyes on that, absolutely. And that will be coming up after Guardians of the Galaxy 2, of course. And another film that's going to start filming in less than a year, or I assume yes, less than a year, is something that all three of us have been looking forward to for years. And that is the Captain Marvel movie.
Right. The filming is supposed to start in January of 2018.
Of course, that will be after Ant-Man and the Wasp start filming in July 2017. And if you want to actually read any of these news stories that we're talking about, go to the show notes and the links will be in there for them. Now, moving on into X-Men, we got a lot of, matter of fact, I don't remember this much X-Men movement in the Marvel Universe on the screen, small or big, for a long time. So we've got some X-Men stories to talk about.
Right. So first, we've got some casting rumors. It looks like Janelle Monáe might end up playing Domino.
Nice.
And David Harbour for Cable.
Oh, so not who we were hoping for.
No. Wow, that is interesting.
I haven't seen Stranger Things, but I've heard he's really good in it, so.
I haven't seen Stranger Things yet. I watched The Newsroom, though, and that's what I'm picturing now for Cable.
He was in that?
Yeah, he was the second host, Elliot Hirsch.
I think I'd stopped watching by then.
Stop watching.
Yeah, I got to
show. Why don't you redeem yourself and tell us about why people are so pissed about Magneto in Secret Empire?
So remember when they made Cap a Hydra agent?
Yes.
So they are like tripling down on this. Marvel has an event coming, Secret Empire. And there is a variant cover for Secret Empire #5, which features Magneto, revealing that Magneto will be siding with Hydra. You know how Magneto was literally in a Nazi concentration camp as a child? And you know how Magneto is Jewish. And you know how Magneto has repeatedly in the past beaten Red Skull's face in because and called him a Nazi and stuff like that?
Yes.
And somehow this is all horrible. Marvel, what are you doing?
They're trying to be sensational and they're trying to sell books and it's just not going to work for me. Sorry, guys. I mean, I bought the Captain America issue number one so I could read it because I like reading the actual paper copy more than I do the digital. It's just the way I like viewing stuff. And I wish I had not. I wish that I had just seen it digitally and just moved on with my life. I get the story that they did afterwards, but I'm sorry, you can't put that genie back in the bottle. So just say no to Hydra Cap. Just
say no to Hydra Cap. Say no to Hydra Magneto. Like, this is particularly at a time like now when
we want to see Nazis get punched in the face.
Want to see Nazis get punched in the face, and there's been a lot of anti-Semitism out in the open and a lot of Jewish community centers having bomb threats called to them, a lot of Jewish cemeteries being vandalized right now at a time when people are feeling, hey, you know what's great? Having my hate out in the open. I feel like it's not really not that it's ever a good time, but it's really not the best time to have your most recognizable Jewish character join the Nazis.
You know what this is the best time for? Having all of your characters punch Nazis in the face.
Yes. Let's go back when that was cool.
I think Marvel took a miscue on something. I think they took a miscue on Captain America Winter Soldier, and they're trying to recapture that genie in a bottle that movie was. And I'm sorry, guys. You've done it once, now twice. Stop doing it for the sake of your own comic book business. Stop doing it. This is not good. You need to do something else. I realize that you're looking for the sensational thing of getting people talking about your comics. This is not the right way to go. And it's a pattern now, and I don't want to see it again. I will start dropping books if this continues. Just saying, that's where I stand. All right. So Lauren, since you did not redeem yourself by talking about that terrible, terrible news story, let's talk a little bit about somebody that cannot go wrong, and that's Amy Akers.
Okay, Amy Acker is rejoining the Marvelverse.
Yay!
Not in the MCU universe.
Aww.
But she has been cast as the female lead in Matt Nix's untitled, still, X-Men drama. She's going to be the mother of the mutant kids.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
Can't wait for that to go. By the way, I did see her in a Christmas movie on the Hallmark Channel. She was a ballerina, and it was the Nutcracker, I believe, on the Hallmark Channel. So just search for Hallmark Channel Christmas movie 2017 Nutcracker, and you will see Amy Acker do a lot of good dancing, obviously replaced by a stand-in at some scenes, but she does have a good ballerina form, so at least in my opinion, and I'm not a ballerina, but I did enjoy seeing her there. So can't wait to see her on the Marvel small screen with this untitled project. Interesting, untitled. Why would you cast somebody in an untitled picture?
Because they haven't thought of the title yet.
They're going to think it's something clever.
I think they should have thought of something clever by now. They're casting.
Not necessarily. The title's always the hardest part.
Yep.
All right.
You've started a new podcast. You know that.
Yeah. Well, when you do show art for it, you kind of have to have the name. Mm-hmm. Got it. All right. So let's finish it off, Haley, with the benefit of the trailer that's online now.
Is this the same one that was before the theater? Or is this a different one?
Sort of. It's slightly different. This one, Stan Lee.
Oh, Stan Lee.
Oh, I didn't see this one.
Yeah, no, the online version is very slightly different. It has him telling Stan Lee to F off.
In true pretty Deadpool great fashion.
Okay, you guys carry on with the podcast. I'm going to watch this now.
Okay, fair enough. We're going to move on to some feedback. While Haley finishes up watching the trailer, I'll start us off. We have some Twitter. All our Twitter feedback this past week was giving us news stories. Thank you very much, everybody. We might have talked about some of these already, so we just want to give a tip of the hat to the people that brought it forward. First of all, Andy Migna retweeted us something from James Hibbard, and he said, Miles from Lost, and also comes up with a bit role in The Force Awakens, and Person of Interest is cast in Marvel's Inhumans. I think we talked about that before, so thank you very much, Andy. Andy also retweeted us something from Eric Goldman, and that is another show is in the works from Bryan Singer and Amy Acker and yada, yada, yada. We just talked about that just from the Amy Acker standpoint. And then Christy at Adana Girl retweeted Clark Gregg. And I did take a look at this. It looks like we brought tickets to Max Gunn Show, and it is the poster for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which returns on April 4th, 2017. Thank you very much for that, Clark Gregg. We appreciate it. And by the way, he's got a verified account, Cody Gaw, who is producer Cody and one of the producers on the Gonna Geek Network, is also verified. So I think they're one and the same people, Cody Gaw and Clark Gregg. At Mr. Pericletes tweeted us and he said, Inhumans release date announced. We didn't talk about this. What's the release date here now for Inhumans? September 1st.
Ah.
2 months before the release of Thor Ragnarok and 2 months after Spider-Man Homecoming. But September 1st means it's at the beginning of the fall season. So it could actually take the place of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does come back for its final season, they can do the mid-season replacement of Inhumans next year.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. stays on, which I'm still hoping against hope that it does, that it'll be a short season. And I'm actually okay with that. I generally like the short seasons because it forces tighter writing.
Plus, you can have a single cohesive storyline through your entire season.
Yeah, versus we're on what, plot 3 or 4 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this year? It was broken out that much? It was more closely identified with the comic books, where you have runs of 7 or 8 issues and then you start a new storyline, or maybe even 3 or 4 and you start a new storyline. I think that's what they were going for this year, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but unfortunately, I don't think it translated to the small screen at all. And then finally, we had at DX Ferris, fan of the show, friend of the show, and he tweeted us, yeah, Iron Fist doesn't work on almost any level. So thank you for that warning, sir. We appreciate it.
Still going to watch.
Yeah, still going to watch. We also had some comments on Facebook. I posted the Thor cover earlier. And our friend of the show, Christy, said, where's Thor's pretty hair? Which was, I think, everybody's first reaction, except for maybe, where's Sif? I want me some Sif.
Who doesn't? Yeah.
She's busy shooting Blind Spot.
Blind Spot. Yeah. That's what I was just going to say. That's where she is.
Busy being all successful.
Well, I don't know about successful, but renewed. Is that the definition of being successful?
I would say so. Yeah.
Okay.
Haley Atwell can't get a show renewed. Jeez.
And when her show Conviction gets axed before Timeless did, that was saying
something. That shocked me.
Yeah.
I thought for sure after watching the first episode of Timeless, I was like, okay, this will be around till about Christmas.
Well, which was basically true because I think they only had 3 episodes to show after Christmas.
I still haven't.
Are there any other Facebook comments?
No.
Okay. There you go. That is it for the feedback, and we're going to walk this one out. Oh, we made it to the end of another podcast. Next week, as I mentioned before in the news section, we'll be discussing Luke Cage, season 1, episode 6, Suckas Need a Bodyguard, on Wednesday, March 15th, 2017. I wanted to say new bodyguard. It's not a new bodyguard. It's just a bodyguard. And by the way, you can catch me and Michelle, my co-host, over on Starling Tribune. She's also guested on this show right here. We're going to be at Indiana Comic Con April 14th through 16th. We have a panel each day. Check indianacomiccon.com for more details. And we'd be glad to see you talking about co-hosting and just podcasting 101 in general. So thank you very much. for coming tonight. It was a long show, but we had a lot to cover. Thank you for being with us. And if you missed us, you can check out our live streams at www.geeks.live every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Thank you for everybody who comments, whether it's on Facebook, on Twitter. We love it when you send us news. It makes our jobs a lot easier. We love it when you just give us your opinion of something. It makes us happy that you're thinking of us. We really love hearing from you. Thank you.
Yeah, we love hearing from you in all forms. Thank you for that. We would love to hear your voices sometimes because we get sick and tired of our own voices. So you could call and leave us a voicemail at 844-THE-BUS-1, 844-843-2871, or you can send an MP3 file to Stargate Pioneer over there in the producer's chair.
StargatePioneer@GunnaGeek.com.
Yeah, do that.
All right. I had a great show, ladies. Thank you for joining me tonight. And until next time, I'm Agent Director, Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Warren.
See you guys next time. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of Shield, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
We'll cover how we each saw it, where, what the crowd was like, that sort of thing. General impression.
Kids in the theater.
Oh my God. You can't tell these days, and there was nothing in that. We'll have to save it, but
yeah. Oh, this is rated R because of violence. Don't take your damn kids.
Yeah, but they didn't say it was going to be this bad.
Yeah, but they rated it R. Maybe don't bring your 4-year-old.
It should have been rated X. Dang it.
Should not.
Nope. This is America. We save that for nudity.
There was nudity.
Plus, I'm way more violent. So.
What nudity?
In the limo.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, that was not X nudity.
No, that was not. You're right.
Nudity, and it wasn't X violence.
I don't know about that.
You have not seen enough violent movies, then.
Go watch some more Tarantino movies.
Hey, this was at my limit. I have to say, they rode that line carefully, so.
Yeah, we should save this.
Yeah, we should.
Oh, yeah, Chips, a.k.a. Homophobia, the movie.
Really? Where was homophobia in the movie?
Chips. I'm trying to remember what trailers I saw.
Oh, okay. I did not see Chips. Did I? I might have. I don't think so.
I don't think I saw that one. I can't remember what all. I know I must have seen more trailers, but.
Entire summary of that trailer was No Homo, the movie.
No, I did not see it, by the way. Did not see it. I've seen clips, but I don't think I've seen a trailer.
What did I see?
Power Rangers.
I saw that one. I was excited about that one.
I know. I've been excited about that one since the first trailer.
Wow, we got radically different trailers. Thanks for doing the doc, Haley.
No problem.
A little earlier next time would be great, but thank you for doing the doc.
If you will remind me on Thursday, like Thursday evening, that it needs to be done, I can do it right away then.
I could do that.
Okay.
Matter of fact, we will all do it on Starling Tribune. Hey, SP, have you reminded Haley to do the document yet? Yeah, I can see this one coming.
Yeah, you should just put it at the top of your Starling Tribune notes. Remind Haley to do the doc.
Okay. This, and I know you can't see it very well, that's my checklist. That's Wednesday. That's today. Well, guess what? Have a similar one for tomorrow. And there you go. I'm talking so you can see it. So there you go. Mm-hmm. That's my checklist. And let's see. Watch arrow. Ensure SD card is in. Spreaker. XSplit. break all channels, open, you know, it can't be right before I record. So yeah, that's where it's going to go. Remind. So it'd be about 6 o'clock your time.
Okay.
Haley, to do the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. doc. That'll work out fine. Thanks.
And asking you to remind me something reminded me that I needed to do a thing for my sister.
And happy International Women's Day.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking your time out of your very important day to podcast with the schlep of me. Okay, we're good. I'm going to get going. Quiet okay. On the set.
Record.
Oh, yeah, record. Everybody record. That's got to go on the checklist.
I thought it's at the top. It's hit record, you idiots.
It, on the show doc and the show notes, but not on my checklist. Remind ladies to hit record. Yes, that would be idiots. We are professionals by now. We have more episodes. By the way, we have more episodes now than GWC had at the final in 2009.
Wow.
Boom.
And that was a couple of times ago, so.
Okay, that's, wow, okay.
All right. And then, Haley, I've been meaning to tell you this for a while. Just have your ears on. Here we go.
I had Cox for a while, and I, for the most part, liked them.
Wait, what?
I had Cox for a while, and I, for the most part, liked them.
Okay, okay.
That was Cox Cable, by the way.
Yep. I have Cox again, and Cox is being...
Yeah, right.
It's all about the boobs.
Do you just have a Haley soundboard?
Oh, I made these a long time ago, and I've never had them on. They're on my Starlight Tribune soundboard. So the Starlight Tribune people have been hearing these for quite some time, and the Gonna Geek people. Okay, here we go. Here's another one.
But not in the podcast, because I listen to those podcasts.
No, it's been off air. So okay. Here we go.
That's why I don't watch anything with anybody, because it's like, screw you. Those that fall behind get left behind. I live my TV life by the pirate code in more ways than one.
All right, you got one more. You ready?
Okay. The world is a mess, and I just need to rule it. Yep. Stand by that.
There you go.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2017.